All right, good to see everyone. Got a lively crowd today. Our worship was awesome, wasn't it? You know why worship's awesome? Because Jesus is awesome. And also, he happens to be alive, right? So I'd like to start today in Colossians chapter 4, and hopefully everybody has an outline. If you don't have an outline, you might want to get one. Maybe you could raise your hand, say, I need one, if you missed it at the front door. It should be praying for open doors and divine opportunities. And I'm going to start by reading in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6 and 12 and 13, and then move on through some other passages. Devote yourselves, Paul says, to prayer. Being watchful and thankful. Two interesting parts of prayer, being watchful and thankful. I like that word thankful in it. Very powerful. We don't worship like just a push button up in the sky that we sort of push and hope that we hit something and out comes something. It's a relational thing. And thanksgiving, as we all know from the earliest times with our children and as children ourselves, when we experience that, we know how wonderful thankfulness is in a relationship, right? So prayer is a relationship, and it's important that we know that it functions according to many of the rules of relationship that we have with each other, and thanksgiving is a really big deal. It's one of the first things that we want our kids to experience, right? So he says, devote yourselves to prayer. That means I'm asking for something or interceding for something, being watchful, and at the same time, I'm watching, being careful, telling the Lord what I need, and thinking and praying and looking after my life, being watchful and careful of the things that are surrounding me. Be thankful, right? Then he says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. This opening doors is a very big deal. I've found through the years, fortunately, and I find that a lot of people never have found this secret. I found the secret to opening doors almost in every area of life is praying about them. And learning to go on an adventure, sort of a prayer walk with God, a prayer adventure with God through various aspects. No matter if it's just completely secular, in the secular world that you're dealing with your job, or it's a son or a daughter, whatever the issue is, right? So he says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. These open doors, right? So Paul's always thinking about that, praying. And he realized that he wasn't on his own and needed others to pray for him, to help him in his ministry. It wasn't just that prayer was a nice thing to do. I'll pray for you, you know, and that's synonymous with saying, I like you, or I'm thinking of you. Prayer is a little deeper than that, and Paul was looking for more because he's dealing with these enemies. He's dealing with this oppression like we do, right? And pray for us in risking his life, by the way, that God may open a door for our message. So he kept going through doors that had never been opened before. Communities, cities, countries that had never heard the gospel. So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, we get scriptures like those last two I just mentioned, interestingly enough, but they're preceded by this prayer thing that he's talking about, praying, interceding. So then with good prayer, our conversation then stays full of grace because we're remembering the Lord in our walk, our everyday life, right? We didn't just pray and then forget him, and praying every day and praying all through the day helps us, reminds us that God's with us. That we're not alone, that God's there just with us, and that he's there in our everyday affairs. And so we pray for people at work, we pray for our bosses, we pray for sales, we pray for everything. And so let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you know how to answer everyone. Would be, I'm on prayer alert already, right? I'm already connected, so I'm expected that I may have some divine appointments, that I may have something that I need to have the right response to. Just when I don't even, not even thinking, God might answer my prayers and have a person ask me this question. And my conversation, what I say to them needs to be seasoned with salt, meaning the right thing. So what we're seeing here is just, and what we're going to see all through this, is being on alert all the time on a supernatural level and also on a practical level, and they kind of meld together. So we're walking supernatural opportunities for people to have provision because of who we are and what we carry. That's why the Bible calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And that's why, by the way, God gives you certain jobs. And when I was younger, I had a lot of jobs, but one thing I know, most of them I hated. But as I began to change my mind about it, I noticed that often when I had a job, a new job, the Lord was doing something with that job that was unique from the other job. And in that place that I was put, I realized it wasn't just about me making money. It was that I was there for a reason. There was an opportunity for me there in that space to share the gospel. So I was like a witness. I was put in this job, but the job, the new environment, was actually for something more. And I think that's the attitude we always need to have. And praying, like we should, always helps us then in that atmosphere. When I walk into work, I am a witness. I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's a very powerful lifestyle, as we're going to see. And then he tells about this person, Epaphras, a little bit longer in the chapter. Epaphras is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. Listen to this, what he says. So Epaphras was from Colossae, and evidently he was with Paul on some ministry trip, wherever this is being written from, right? And so he was with Paul. Paul always traveled in teams and had groups of people from various cities with him, right? And they made up a kind of a ministry team or a missionary team. So he's writing this letter to the Colossians. Now, Epaphras, if you read earlier, was actually responsible for a lot of the work in Colossae, right? And so he not only was just a member of the church, but he was a leader there. And so this is an interesting phrase. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. Listen to this. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. So how can he be working hard for them if he's living, if he's with Paul, wherever that is, right, and not there with them? He's working hard through his intercession, through his prayer. He's always wrestling in prayer. Here's the great dilemma that we have in basically a prayerless, a secular society that doesn't have a lot of religion in it, especially in Southern California, right? Here's the problem. We don't see ourselves like God sees us. We don't see ourselves in terms of being this ambassador. And what's more, we don't understand the real power of our prayers to accomplish things. We get defeated way too soon, and we live fairly secular lives. And our churches, compared to many churches around the world who are under lots of pressure, and I've been to those churches in various countries of the world, we're pretty much a prayerless culture. And we find it very, very difficult to be prayerful people. Our lives are busy and distracted, and there's all kinds of things. And also, we have trouble, but we don't have yet, and hopefully never, authorities breathing down our neck, persecuting us, throwing into jail. If you know, when you have that sort of atmosphere, guess what? Your prayer life changes remarkably. Now, did your prayer life just change because you had extra need? No, you were always in need, and you're always vulnerable. Because there's this other thing called the devil, right? This entity that's always looking, and the Bible calls him as a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He never takes a vacation, by the way. He never stops doing that. That's his assignment. With a whole demon army to make sure, right? That's his assignment. He's looking for someone to devour. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. But the thief, which is this demonic power, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So there's one force in the universe that's trying to steal and kill and destroy. Take every bit of your wealth, every bit of your life, every bit of your health, right? He's roaming around looking for someone to do that to, right? On the other side is Jesus, who says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. But it turns out that in this abundant life, there are things. There are things that we can do on our side, and actually, it's important that we understand that we're very much a part of the equation for our own provision. A lot of people don't understand that. They play life like a roulette wheel. They just sort of hope that everything works out okay. They don't understand that every part of their life really needs to be a constant prayer because you need it. Sometimes life in our culture is a little deceptive because we have a lot of really great things happening, right, that we take for granted. If you go to another country, you realize real fast that you take a whole lot of things for granted and blessing that's already in your life, surrounding you and covering you. Matter of fact, there's so much that people in the United States, I find, in the Western world, have a tendency to be rather dull in their prayer life and praying for open doors and divine opportunities. And I want to just say praying for open doors and divine opportunities, because this is not talking about just protection here. We're talking about divine doors, open doors, divine opportunities, things that are blessing to you and a blessing to others. Your jobs, your money, every area that you could cover in asking for something is available. And of course, paramount is your salvation, other people's salvation. So what does it mean to devote yourself to prayer? Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Well, there's two words right there, right? Watchful and thankful. Being thankful to God, keeping that continual thanksgiving going up, being watchful over your life. Being watchful of things that could be a trouble or a problem, or watchful over your children, over other people. Watchfulness is a very powerful way. It's akin to walking in the Spirit. It's a way that you understand yourself. You're not just anybody when you walk into your workplace or your job or wherever. You are a son of the Most High God. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You're an ambassador for Jesus. You're different. You carry something different no matter where you go, what job you have, or where you find yourself. And I like this Epaphras guy who's on a missionary trip with Paul, and it says in verse 13, he's one of you. He came from this evidently Colossae, this city of the Colossians, and it says he's always wrestling in prayer for you. And it's a very interesting word, this word wrestling. It's and connecting it with prayer. We know about wrestling. If you've ever wrestled, I remember my first time I started wrestling when I was like in seventh grade. It was the weirdest sport, man. It was weird. And I felt like anybody that continued in this sport was absolutely nuts. But anyway, just lots of pain and hard work and hand-to-hand combat and whatever. And it was pretty cool when you won. But there's always someone bigger and taller than you and whatever, and you get paired up with them sometimes, and man, they just eat your lunch and make you so tired, tie you up in a knot, right? Before you knew it, man. And I got tied up in a knot more than one time, but I learned a few things, and I began to learn how to tie other people in a knot, and then it became more fun. But I still didn't like it very much because there's lots of stuff involved there, right? But he is always wrestling in prayer for you. So this Epaphras is with Paul, who is from Colossae, is always wrestling in prayer. Why is he wrestling in prayer? Because they needed the prayer. Because prayer makes a difference. And it's like wrestling. You're contending for something. And what you contend for makes the difference. And that's why I really like a lot of the prayer meetings that we do around here. And especially our business prayer meetings and those, because we're dealing and grappling with everyday situations, everyday life, very specific situations. And situations that mean a lot to us because that's how we make our living, right? And maybe we might not even be employed. Maybe we need a job or whatever. And when it gets down to those real practical things, it's amazing how people neglect praying over those specific things. Somehow they have in their mind a reflection of our culture where supernatural, spiritual things are over here, best left to prayer groups and church, and then secular things are over here, you know. And then people can cheat and do all kinds of things, punch each other in the nose, and then, you know, say, well, it's just business. Who ever heard that from? Just business. Well, it's certainly not kingdom business. It's not a way to do business as a kingdom person, right? But the just business means I can just do whatever I want to because this is business and everybody knows this is tough and this is warfare, you know, and it's survival of the fittest and I just happen to get the best of you today, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Again, we see this, and I want to just say this before I move on. I tell you, this has been my life bread. This has been what I've been walking on for many, many years. Fortunately, somehow, some way, through the grace of God, through my spiritual experience, and I would say key mentors along the way, I learned that Christianity has very much to do with prayer. My house, Jesus said, will be called a house of prayer. He got mad about that and cleansed the whole temple one time. You individually and together, we are a house of prayer. And turns out that the Lord put an adversary, or allowed an adversary to arise, you know, and the Satan rebelled, and then he's causing all kinds of havoc everywhere, and he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. God came to give life and give it abundantly, but one of the ways that you have life and have it abundantly is you learn to pray for what you need. That's why the Lord's Prayer, Give us this day our daily bread. That's a huge, bread is a huge thing for everything that I need for that day. It could be healing, it could be money, it could be anything. Deliver me from evil is another part of the prayer. Deliver us from evil. Thy kingdom come, bring your authority in my life. Your will be done, earth here in my life as it is in heaven. There's grace in heaven, right? I need that same grace, peace, healing, deliverance here. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I need provision today. And I'll tell you what, one of the biggest mistakes people make is not praying about their money. You always know when you've messed up on that thing, when you just really put too much stock in one thing to provide for you, right? So much so that that thing becomes like a god in itself, right? And when you do that, it's amazing. When that becomes that important, you think that is the thing, that's going to be the thing that's going to provide, you know, and you deify it, you worship it, you spend hours working around it, you know, and you don't include God in it. You made it something that it wasn't supposed to be. And also, you took away the power to actually grab hold of that thing. Because it turns out God's not a spoilsport. He really likes to answer prayer. And he likes you to pray, and he likes to answer prayer. He gives this thing. He says, here's my fishing pole. Here's the rod. Here's the bait. Go ahead. Right? Because I want you to catch fish. I want you to get answers. Right? So that's why he says, rejoice always. Be happy always. Why wouldn't you be happy always? Well, you might think that God's not interested anywhere. Well, if you think God's not interested in you, we'll pray continually and you'll find out. You may have to wrestle a little bit with this situation, right? It may take a little tussle. That's another thing. This isn't the magic kingdom. I don't do some little twinkly dust on, you know, fairy dust on you. I'm in the midst of this prayer. I am part of the answer to this prayer. That's how I get discipled. So I take steps. I take initiative. I pull back, whatever it is. I listen to God's voice. So prayer continually is this continual relational thing with God. It's continual communication with God. So part of this is rejoicing. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's the first part of the prayer. Rejoicing. Why should you rejoice? Because you've been bought with a price. You're a king. You're a son of the Most High God. And he's crazy about you. Otherwise, he wouldn't die for you. He didn't stop being crazy for you, you know, years ago when you walked across that line to become a Christian. He constantly is crazy for you, always, continually. And if somebody's that crazy about you, actually, half of prayer is figuring out that God's crazy about you. He really likes you. He's not crazy. He's crazy for you. There's a difference. Sometimes you think God's crazy. Remember that movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy? Sometimes we think God's like that. What in the world are you doing with me now? Why did you allow that to happen? This is crazy, right? He says, instead of all that, he says, rejoice always. Look, I got this. Pray continually. A person that rejoices always knows that God has it, right? Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All circumstances? Yep. All of them. Why? Well, because you're going to get on the other side of it. If it's bad, all right? In all circumstances, I can be joyful and thankful in the good. But in all circumstances, give thanks. Why? Because God's interested in you. God gave you a lifeline. His name is Jesus, who shed blood for you. You accepted him as into your life. You're a son or a daughter, which gave you communication rights with the Most High God. It's amazing to me how much the devil will talk you out of this. Sometimes he doesn't talk us out of it. He just bludgeons us, right? Life bludgeons us with detail. Endless detail. So we forget who we are. We forget who we are. We forget what power we have in our tongue. We could preach a dozen sermons on how bitterness and how gossip can destroy a person, can destroy people's lives. But what about our tongue to ask God for things, to declare things as that are not as though they were, which is what prayer really is, right? So this is a turns out that God's an equal opportunity employer for this, right? And he's no respecter of persons. Anyone, anywhere, anytime can pray to the Most High God. And anyway, to do business in this world with the size of the demons and the size of the problems and the devil roaring around looking for someone to devour, it's not about you. And it's about his victory through you, right? They're too big for you. So the sooner you realize it, the more you're going to do well and not be intimidated by life's difficult circumstances. By the way, life's difficult circumstances are sometimes by the world and the effect of the world and the system it's set up, and sometimes it's just downright demonic intervention. And sometimes people are so unspiritual. Many times we are so unspiritual, we just can't believe that something that bad could happen to us, right? Well, you live in a fallen world, and the enemy comes to try to challenge. Their job is to say, no, no, you can't do that. That's illegal, right? Wonder if you don't say no. Well, I just say you suffer more than you should, right? God will help you, but I tell you what, it's greatly enhanced. Because part of this whole thing is, with regard to praying, is that the Lord just really likes to do this whole thing with you. He likes the whole process. Look at Ephesians 5, verses 6 to 10, or verses, where am I here? Yeah, verses, where am I? Ephesians 6, sorry. Oh, that's not Ephesians 5, that's Ephesians 6. Okay, good. Ephesians 6. Where are you, Ephesians 6? I'm in Thessalonians, no wonder. Okay, here we go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. What an amazing phrase that is. But what? Against the rulers, against the powers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Wow. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? That's a critical thing to understand about your life, right? And if you look down just the next line I have there, a fundamental way to overcome the roaring lion looking for someone to devour, which is what 1 Peter 5:8 says of the devil. So isn't that amazing? You literally have a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's what the devil's like. He didn't like go on vacation. He's not in Botswana one day, you know, in Colombia the other day, you know, far, far away with the Palestinians, or where these that rough patch that they're having in China. No, he's everywhere. He has an amazing, he has an entire demonic army, right? And so we find ourselves, the roaring lion, there's always a lion, especially for believers, stalking us. We don't like it. We don't actually realize how dire our situation is. And some people are defenseless because they don't know how to walk in the Spirit. So whether you're, you know, defenseless or not, the devil doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I realize you're defenseless. I think I probably... You know, maybe you should go to school. We'll have a battle later. No, he just attacks whoever. And if he finds a defenseless person, he really likes it, right? He doesn't have to go through anything. So then, in this kind of atmosphere, in this kind of world, we just see the reason why Paul writes these things. He was very, very well aware of the demonic because he's expanding the kingdom. And it's the first expansion of the kingdom into the rest of the world. Paul's been given that assignment. So he's going into places that haven't been touched with any sense of God in centuries and centuries and centuries. And thus began, at that time, after Jesus' death, the invasion of the entire earth with the gospel. That's why Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That light started shining. That salt started being emptied with the early church. And Paul was first and foremost, because not only did he take it to the Jews, which the Jews thought, well, maybe it's just us, he began to expand the kingdom from one end of the earth to the other and began this whole process that is still working out even today. And guess what God says about that? Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, and then the end comes. So Jesus isn't going to come back till the gospel is preached in the whole world. Well, you think, well, surely the gospel has been preached in the whole world. No. Maybe people, because of video or because of some technology, have heard a little bit about God. But most of it's bad press. Most of it's negative, right? Just ask the people who are, you know, just ask major religions of the world now that are causing such a problem. They know about Jesus. They know about Christians. Right? And so, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So that's why we should pray for each other. We say, well, I would like to be a witness for Jesus. Well, if you want to be a witness for Jesus, have someone praying for you. Pray for me, he said. Apostle Paul was pretty bold. You would think he wouldn't need much. He's an apostle after all. Oh, but if you read his writings, you'll find out he was a weak apostle. Meaning, not less strong than the others, but he was always aware of his weakness and God's strength. It's the only way he made it. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. He's seeing these enemies and these people that would torment and these people, and he was always getting arrested or beaten up or something, you know? And he said, you know what? My number one thing, if you pray for me, I'm going to go out there and do it. God will be with me, but pray that I will not chicken out. Please. Pray that I will not chicken out. So are you afraid to witness to people, to share the gospel with them? Well, that's a natural, supernatural thing. So ask others to pray that you wouldn't be a chicken anymore. That we wouldn't be fearful. And all of us are chickens from one time or another. All of us are timid, right? So Paul's saying, you know, pray for me so that I'll be fearless with the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador, he said, in chains. In other words, that was part of what he went through to do that. I'm going to just read these verses again. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This is verse 18. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. All the Lord's people all over the world. And your own children. Extending all the way out. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Now, if Paul the Apostle needed that, I think we all do, right? I like that. And pray in this for an all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, there's two keys that are given to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So we see these other dimensions. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. Pay attention to your environment. Pay attention to what's happening to you. Pay attention to the demonic and the angelic. Pay attention to what God may be doing. Be alert. Assume that God's working in your life no matter where you are, that you're always working with and through God, and that the enemy also is seeking someone to devour, right? Assume that you're living in a spiritual world. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, and then this other word, thankful. So we see then that this watchful thing is one thing, but which is sort of a military term, but thankful, that's a relational term. So one thing I find is that sometimes people turn this into a very unrational thing, right? As if God's a thing to be manipulated or pushed around or whatever, you know. But thankful is a really critical thing. Thankful for what God's already done, and a huge doses of thankfulness in your life recognizes when God does something. And when God does something, gives you a miracle, then take that miracle and pray it for someone else, or remember it the next time you need a miracle. Thankfulness is one of the most powerful things in your life, because being thankful is a part of prayer, and being a part of prayer moves mountains, makes changes, right? So if you look under there, I have in the outline, being watchful and be thankful, right? So there's a sense that we're watchful defensively, right? Because the enemy is this one that devours, right? But also, interestingly enough, the Lord says in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Lord, that's a fancy way of saying, Lord, lead us not into trouble. Or lead us not into temptation would be to make a mistake, but it's a bigger word than that. You could easily translate that, lead us not into testing, but deliver us from the evil one. I think probably when we step out the door, that should be something that all of us do. Lord, this is a new day. Keep me out of trouble. That's what that prayer is about. Why would the Lord put that in the Lord's Prayer? We like all parts of it. Lord, give us today our daily bread. I like that part of the Lord's Prayer. Lord, your authority come, your kingdom come. But Lord, please lead me away from trouble. Help me to avoid problems. Is that legal? Do you get to pray like that? Yeah, absolutely. Lead us away from trouble. Deliver me from the evil one. Keep me out of attacks. Keep me out of messes. It's amazing. The only thing keeping you from praying that prayer is you have no faith whatsoever, and you have no awareness that you're not just your own. Supernatural forces around trying to knock your block off. And it doesn't matter whether you're particularly spiritual that day or not. They don't go away. They don't go away. Ah, I think I'll take a break from church for a while. God for a while. Take it easy. Wow. If everything just stopped for you to take your break, it would be awesome. But you know what? This one's hunting you down. He's like a roaring lion, a hungry one, always looking for someone to devour. Your protection about that is, Lord, this is why Lord put it in the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's. Things that we should be praying every day is in what we call the Lord's Prayer. You can find it in Matthew chapter 6. And one of those things that we pray is, Lord, lead me away from testing, temptation. Deliver me from evil, right? And then in Matthew 26, verses 40 to 41, so he's in Gethsemane. Jesus is being tested to the hilt. He's trying to make this decision because he knows they're coming for him in Gethsemane. And what do you find him doing in Gethsemane? With all the power he had, with all the authority he had, what's he doing? He's praying. He's asking God that, God, help me to respond the way you want me to respond in this thing that's about to happen. The people around me have no idea. They're sleeping. And he kept saying to them, can't you stay awake? Aren't you staying awake? It's amazing to me, and I got to say this about myself and everybody here. We would rather sleep than pray. We sleep all the time. Spiritually, we're always, we have this tendency. We're lazy. We don't like to pray. We run out of faith. We get tired of it, right? But the problem is that the enemy does not stop, right? He doesn't stop looking for you. He's seeking someone to devour. I'm sorry. I wish the world was different. I wish you were born into a different world. But it doesn't matter how wealthy you are. It doesn't matter who you are, what circumstance you're in. This reality is a reality of planet Earth. If you're a human being, then your hair is trouble, right? So Jesus made application every day. Lord, I like this part. Give me this day my daily bread. I really like that part. Give me money, Lord. I like that. All right? I like hallowed be your name. That's pretty cool, Lord. Thy kingdom come means like your authority come, Lord. Your authority come. I like God's authority. But lead me away from temptation is not one that I particularly care for because it means there might be something, someone trying to knock my block off, make me sick, cause a problem, cause an accident, whatever, right? And Ecclesiastes doesn't help any. Man's born for trouble as sparks fly upward, right? So it seems that while we're on this life, there's always going to be challenges. But these challenges are amazing because they're meant to help us to exercise the supernatural power of Jesus, to learn how he works, learn that he's more powerful than the enemy. And then after you learn that about your own life, what you do is you start going after other people's lives, right? So here he is in the greatest test of his life. He's about to be crucified. And they're in the Gethsemane, and evidently they had a long religious service. Passover. They're a little tired. And he kept finding them sleeping. They turned to his disciples and found them sleeping. He says, couldn't you men keep watch for me for 1 hour? Keeping watch is a critical thing. It's a part of prayer. Keeping watch for the one that devours, the one that's always looking. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He never stops doing that. I wish he would stop doing that. I wish it weren't a reality. But if you close your eyes, pretend you're not a Christian, pretend you're not a believer, pretend like this isn't the case, it's still going to be the case, right? So what we need to learn to do is, in his greatest hour, there is Jesus in this garden, right? He knows he's going to make a decision whether to go to the cross or not. He knows the enemy is going to tempt him, right? And he says, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? And you're thinking, what the heck do those guys have anything to do with it? He was inviting them in to this situation so they wouldn't fail miserably because there was going to be something that was going to come and attack them. And they needed this prayer to help guard them, to help them respond correctly. And they didn't because they couldn't keep watch. So the trial came and they failed miserably. Miserably, right? One of them betrayed him. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into testing or temptation. So this is a part of our everyday life. Every day we should be praying this. Lord, keep me from evil. Lord, keeping watch. Lord, help me not to fall into temptation today. That goes along with lead us not into temptation, right? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Something's coming, right? And we never know in our life when something's coming or when whether it's a little blip on the screen or whether it's something more serious. You live in a horribly fallen world. I'm sorry, I can't help it. Devils and angels roam around, and the devils come to devour, and the angels come to help, and both are affected by your prayer life. And that's how God set it up. It's not the only thing that affects them, but our prayer life makes a huge difference. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't say, lead me not in temptation or testing, or wouldn't say, hey, watch and pray so that you don't fall, so this doesn't happen to you. You actually can prevent this. You live in a fallen world. You can prevent this. And how do you prevent this? You prevent it through praying, right? Interceding. So that's defense. But then there's this offensive thing, watching for opportunities to release supernatural power. So we look at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. So evidently, they had a time where they always prayed every day, and it was at the temple at 3 in the afternoon. So look at this. And I want to just say this in terms of our prayer life. So the temple is not as important now as the temple. So God causes our body, tells us there's a temple in two ways. There's the temple where people gather together like this. And then there's the individual temple that you are in the Holy Spirit. You're carrying the Holy Spirit. You're carrying a dynamic power of God on the inside of you, right? So when we say we're going to the temple, then we're going to the Old Testament temple. But the New Testament temple is here, all of us together, and us personally. We are a walking house of prayer, and together we are a house of prayer. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. So they were going purposely to pray, to fulfill their responsibility to the Lord, to interact with the Lord. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "You know, I don't got any silver or gold, but I do have something. I have something. You have something. You have something. You have something." Your main battle is whether you believe you have something. If you have the Holy Spirit on the side of you, you're born again, you have something. You are locked and loaded. You are dangerous. And the enemy will do everything in his power to make sure that you believe that you're not important, that you're no good, that you can't do it, that you have no effect on your world. I'm hoping that there's a prayerful church praying, because if you haven't been praying for your country, now would be a good time to start. Because the issues won't go away. They're not just political issues. They are deep spiritual issues. The enemy has come to steal our nation and to steal the church and to ruin everything. He's come. So the question is, what are we going to do about it, right? And I'll tell you, one of your biggest things is be praying for your country. That's why Paul said, pray first of all. I urge you to pray for all those in authority. Did Paul have to deal with authority? Yes, it was one of his biggest issues. Because he'd go preach the gospel somewhere, they'd disrupt the whole religious life of the city, and then they would persecute him and try to kill him. So he got smart about it. He says, "You know, I'm about to go someplace. Please pray for me," right? Then Peter says, while he's walking to this, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So where is this miracle happening? It's happening at the time of prayer. They go to this temple to pray, and they notice a lame guy. So the thing is, we're temples of prayer. And so the thing is, like this, what prayer does is it prepares us to do miracles. When we stay prayerful in our heart, what it does is it prepares us to be used by the Lord and watching for key opportunities, right? So there, right in the temple, they saw an opportunity. "You know, I don't have any silver or gold, but you're blind, and I got something. I'm packing. In the name of Jesus, get up." And he was healed, right? Be healed. Wow. So do you see where it is? The thing is, when you're prayerful and we have a prayer life that's continual, you're always then, not only did you pray and get your discipline done for the day, but it should stamp you with a sense of who you are. You're not just anybody. You're a Christian. You carry Christ. You carry authority. You're packing, so to speak, right? And so they see this guy right in front of them, and they're in this house of prayer. What better place to get healed than in the house of prayer at the temple, right? Here we are, the religious place. And he gets healed. So if you look on your outline, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything," but what's the next line? "But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he talks about thinking about whatever's lovely, whatever's perfect, and so on and so forth. So this Thanksgiving thing, notice it's like he's got this prayer thing, but it's salted with something. So do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So this is a very, very critical thing. Thankfulness diminishes the size of the obstacles in front of us. I just encourage you, if you've got this obstacle in front of you, be thankful. Just all of a sudden, just start being thankful for everything you can think of, and maybe even the situation that God's going to help you, right? Thankfulness helps us to rest even in the midst of a struggle. Thankfulness is a great help towards praying constantly. What prayer does, and when you learn to be thankful in your prayers, what it does, it's like fuel to you. It helps the tank be full. If it's just about petition, that's one thing. But when you do it in a spirit of thanksgiving, you're doing more than just petitioning, because sometimes when you petition, you keep being confronted by how horrible the problem is, right? When you give thanksgiving, you're putting the whole thing on a different plane. Jesus, thank you for this issue. Thank you for what I'm going through. I thank you that you've delivered me before and you're going to deliver me again. I thank you in every way, Lord. You've got this, right? And so prayer turns out it needs faith to go with it. And this faith comes from this thanksgiving, which is very, very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Colossians 4, 2-4. Devote yourselves, and this is Roman numeral 2. Prayer opens doors for the message of Jesus to enter any person's world. I just want to say it this way. Prayer opens doors for anything. I'll tell you, I've seen so many doors opened through just the power of prayer. And matter of fact, when I'm not praying much, I get very uncomfortable. I got uncomfortable for the one side because I know the enemy's prowling around, you know, and I need to be saying continually, Lord, lead me away from testing and trial. And the other side of it is, you know, and it's not fair. What did I do to deserve it? Nothing. Well, then why is he attacking me? I don't know. Because that's what he does. So, but you have something to say about it. Don't just get caught up in the inequity of it, or the meanness of it, or why God. You can actually pray in advance, right? You can pray in advance, right? And it's so important that we do that. Now, here's this number two. Prayer opens doors for the message of Jesus to enter any person's world. So, cities, countries, individuals. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Those are two words we just talked about, right? And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Then he goes on, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders and so on and so forth. He goes, talks about that as well, right? Making the most of every opportunity. But look what he says before that. He says, pray that God would open the door, that we might proclaim the mystery like I should. Pray that I would proclaim it. So Lord, open the doors and pray that, Lord, I'll be on. I'll be ready. Help me, Lord. Help me. So I guarantee if you start praying that, Lord, I pray for divine appointments. Help me to be ready for the opportunity when it comes, right? Pray for us too, he's saying, that God would open a door. So Paul's relying on prayer that God would open a door, open a city, give him revelation, insight as to their next step. So his walk out into the world, which he was the apostle that was chosen by God to go out in the Gentile world, was smothered in prayer. He didn't go anywhere where he didn't think God wanted him to go. He was always being led. He was always praying constantly, God, okay, what do I do next? Every step that he took, every movement he took, was governed by someone over him, right? So with us, it's the same. We should pray for every step, everything that we do. You that work at regular jobs, what do I do now? You know, what? Give me wisdom, Lord, for this. Should I invest in this or not? Should I take this step or not? Should I hire that person or not? Is that the right fit, Lord? So knowing us like we do in our culture, I found in my own life that we have a horrible tension. We have a horrible tension because we live in a secular humanist environment, you know, and it's not very spiritual. Even on the dark side, I mean, we have people that are doing weird stuff, you know, movies and stuff, but we don't see a lot of demonic temples or things like that. They're there if you want to see them. But if you go to Asia, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Go to Africa. On every corner, they're sacrificing to some god. So the problem is, we're not very spiritual people, so we're not aware of demons and demonic things. And by the way, when you go to one of those places, you start preaching the gospel, the demons come flying out, and you go, oh my God, I didn't realize, right? Well, they were there in your country too. You just had no, like, thing for it. You had no paradigm for it. But it's still the truth. And also, the ones here are a little sneakier. They hide a little bit behind intellectual thoughts and fine-sounding ideas, but they're just as wicked. And they're just as destructive, if not more. And here's an item. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Your life is on another level, whether you like it or not, whether you want to face that or not. You're living on another level. It's the thief, the enemy. A supernatural being is after you, trying to kill and destroy you. That's the reality you're facing. And if you don't have any sense that even believe in those things, those supernatural things, you're really at a disadvantage. But if you believe them, then some people believe in supernatural things. They go the wrong way. Which is the most unbelievable thing that's happened. It should be a bing, ding, 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 ding for the entire church, because people are actually choosing Satan now in record numbers, literally, personally, on, you know, purpose. In our culture, at a level we've never seen before. I've never seen it before. It's amazing. There's even satanic preschools now. There's all kinds of stuff. You can't imagine. Oh, they're going to hang out the door on it. Satanic preschool, come all, welcome. No, but their design is to take your kids and corrupt them in our own area, all over the place. Well, it's not fair. There's no fairness about it. That's so sneaky. Yes, he's sneaky. Question is whether you're spiritually aware enough to understand, even in your own life, when the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy you. You think this is that happened or that happened. I especially see this with business people. Business people have such power if they are any good at it. They make money, have a power to move all kinds of mountains and do all kinds of things. What they hadn't predicted or thought about, though, is from that same place, the enemy will steal and pillage them because they're too big a target. They're very dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. If they get God in them, right? Because they can cause all kinds of things happen. Before you know it, they're building churches and they're building orphanages and they're taking care of this and they're that. They get behind, you know, politicians that know the Lord, right? And this is the nature of our warfare. It's so important that we become prayerless, a prayerful people, praying for open doors and divine opportunities, right? Colossians 1, 6 to 9. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, as has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Now listen to this. You learned it from Epaphras, our fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So these people come to Christ and they continually pray for them to succeed and to do well, right? That story is our story. And this guy named Epaphras is hanging out with Paul, right? He's hanging out with him. And he joined the missions team, so to speak. And Colossians 4, 12 to 13, listen to this. So he writes to, he's writing to the Colossians because, see, he was from Colossae, right? And he had joined Paul's missions team, which was in another city at the moment. And listen to this. This is Epaphras. Epaphras, which is one of you and a servant of Christ, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. How is he working hard for them? He's in another city. He's praying for them. He's interceding for them. He's standing in the gap for them. If there's no reality to this, then we're just sort of pie in the sky, religious blubber, whatever. No, it's not religious blubber. This is the way things work. There's a demonic thing that will try to steal and kill and destroy, and there's God that wants to give you life and abundantly, and in between is you praying and interceding and asking God to help you, have mercy on you, and actually joining with others to help you, right? And that's why it says, Epaphras, who is one of you and servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He's always wrestling. Now, here's an interesting thing. I hated wrestling. I hated wrestling with a passion. Some of you may have liked wrestling. One of those sports that I always felt sorry for the guys that wrestled. They're always up on the stands, and they were working their tail off, trying to get their weight, and they were spitting in cans so hopefully they could release some weight out of their spit. And they were always in bags and God-forsaken heat things that they would cover themselves so they'd sweat the pounds off. They worked hard, they fought hard, because they were going to be wrestling, and they had a certain weight they needed to meet, and they wanted to be at the very top of the weight they could possibly be without violating their weight limit, right? Because it gave them an advantage when they're wrestling, right? They sacrificed tremendously, right? So we're talking about wrestling. It's not only it's this wrestling in prayer. There's difficulty. It's hand-to-hand combat. And here's another thing. It's very difficult for us to understand about prayer. Prayer is very much like wrestling. We don't like it to be that. We just want to suppress, you know, one thing in the name of Jesus and pray over that thing and presto magic. Boom, it moves. Well, that's nice. Occasionally that happens. But honestly, you're in a wrestling match. It's not only just your prayers that you need to keep offering up, but there's this back and forth. There's this stealing. Anthony, I'll say something to you. Don't be disturbed over what happened with those labels. Something will come out of it. What you need to do is say, God, I've been praying over this thing like crazy. I did this out of my own goodwill and my own heart. I'm trying to prosper this thing. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would show me what to do. Turn this terrible thing that happened with these labels and make it good. In Jesus' name, and give me the wisdom. So, don't just stare at the bottles, Anthony. Make something good out of it, because you're on the right track. I looked at those bottles the other day, and I thought, sheer genius for marketing. It's beautiful. You've done a good thing. And by the way, don't let it surprise you that you keep having so much, because what's going on behind all the scenes for you to prosper in this and to prosper that ministry is amazing. You're talking about launching the gospel into the furthest reaches of the world, places that haven't been reached yet. That's what your real destiny is. It's not the bottles. The water is part of it. It's going to help fund it, right? You're a part of that. That's why you have so much trouble. Don't think it's strange. You wrestle in prayer and get on the other side of this, because God's got something for you. If you'll do that and you'll wrestle like that, God's going to bless you. He's going to bless the world also from where those things are coming, right? It's a good idea you had. Don't let the enemy spoil it. I don't know why it was spoiled a little bit, but it won't be long before God helps you. He's going to put another wind in your sails. He's going to put another wind in your sails and help you. Don't be surprised. You're a good wrestler, Anthony. You really are. The thing you're wrestling for is far more than you know. It's about souls that aren't saved yet in an area of the world that has not been reached in 20 centuries for the gospel. That's why you're having so much trouble. That's why you have to contend and keep fighting. That's who you're dealing with right now. Amen? Amen. Give a little pep talk. Now you give me a pep talk next time I'm on my back for some stupid reason that I'm frustrated and don't want to do anymore and I've had it, right? So the question is, who are your Colossians? Wrestling in Colossians 4:12 means to struggle, like engaged in an intense athletic contest or warfare. It's exactly like wrestling, right? I mean, in the what we know about wrestling in the natural, right? So I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapters 16, verses 8 to 9. Listen to this. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. I just wonder if there's anybody in here that's in that space. Sometimes we get in that space, and maybe someone in the live stream that's in that space. Indeed, he says, we felt we had received a sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. But on God who raises the dead. And I just really like that scripture, because prayer is about relying on God who raises the dead. And he raises it supernaturally. And so to get to those resurrections, you have to do it on a supernatural plane, right? And so that means in all of our affairs, you know, that's so important for us to understand that we have victory right on our tongue, and even with another brother and sister that we pray for and agree in prayer with, right? I want to just go to Roman numeral 3. Praying makes it easier to make the most of every opportunity. And so I want to just read from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it as clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So a lot of us would love to be witnesses and witness to our neighbors and friends, but there's this little thing called prayer that really will help. So it's got two dimensions there, watchfulness and thankfulness, right? Being watchful in prayer causes us to be clearer as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, if you are praying for people, praying for the world, praying for things, then the next step that you should do is, or a situation, watch over it. Look for the progress. Look for a way that you can interject something or say something or bring something into the equation that's helpful. Prayer makes it easier to make the most of every opportunity, every person you deal with, every situation. Because as we're watchful in prayer, God gives us ideas. He gives us thoughts. He helps us along. He gives us this incredible wisdom, right? And so that's how, one way, he says, pray that I may proclaim it as clearly as I should. So he's realizing that to actually be a witness, he needs the power of God and needs prayer to help him to actually make it clear to the person he's dealing with. And every person might be different. But the thing is, we contend over that. We want to do that. But we don't want to. Just encourage you, if you don't know how to approach a person, or you don't even know how to witness, or you don't know how to be, just pray that the Lord would make it clearly, and it's a dangerous prayer, but God, make it clear that God would use you, and that if you get this opportunity, that God would help you to say the right things. So, you know, how many have thought, you know, even if I'm witnessing, I don't know how to say the right things, and I don't know what to say. Well, here you go. Pray that you might say things. You know the guys that are out there, they're not theologians. They may act like theologians or give up, but they're rather deep, I mean shallow, even with the objections they have. They're not very philosophical. Most people in our culture are fairly secular, right? So the issue you really have is the demonic thing that's been speaking in their ear, trying to blind their eyes, right? So prayer, being watchful in prayer, that the Lord would show us people, give us divine appointments, and we realize even when we're in the middle of one, because I guarantee you, if you say, God, please, I want to witness. I want to share the gospel with people. Please help me. Now, the next thing you do is you're watching and you're sensitized to it. So when the opportunity comes, you go, oh, there it is. I'm not saying this doesn't require faith. I'm just saying you get to pray about it in advance. And when the thing comes, you can pray it right to you. And don't be surprised if you get that appointment, right? So this is really critical about our life. Clarity comes not only with words, but with demonstrations of power and miracles. So that's another side of this. Not only are we equipped with words to give people, but look for opportunity to pray for the sick. Look for opportunity to pray into a situation. Matter of fact, that's how you know you're on when there's divine opportunities and open doors. Someone shares with you a horrible problem they're having. That's a perfect time to insert Jesus into it and to pray for them. So be sensitive and talk to your friends and neighbors. But when being watchful in prayer means watch. I'm praying for my neighbor. I'm praying for my friend. But watch for the opportunity. Watch for these open doors, right? That's why Colossians 4:3-6 is be wise toward outsiders. Pray that I may do it as clearly as I should. You would think that Paul would have the gospel by that time, right? Even he needed somebody to pray for him that he would say the right thing. Pray that God would use me to open this door, right? Make the most of every opportunity. So clarity sometimes comes with not only what we say, but also praying for a miracle to happen in their life. And then it happens. Man, I tell you, what is that, a megaphone? Making the most of every opportunity is literally translated redeeming the time. And this is verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. That literally is redeeming the time. That's what it means. Redeeming the time. Colossians 4:5. Redeem. It's a marketplace word meaning to buy or to buy up or buy out. Time. It's the sense of season, suitable time, the right moment. So redeeming, and at the right moment, God brings, in other words, these divine appointments. So here's two things you can do. Lord, and this is, okay, now if you pray this prayer, you got to mean it, right? You got to mean it. Lord, I would like an opportunity to share the gospel with someone. Please give me an opportunity. Okay, now, that opportunity probably will not look like this. Someone walking up to you, you know, I would like to know about Jesus. Do you know anything about Jesus? A perfect stranger. I don't know about you, but I don't think most people talk to strangers. You know, if they do, they think you're, you know, well, who is this guy? You know, what is he doing, right? Invading my space, right? You see what I'm saying? So it's important if we begin to pray and ask that God will bring these opportunities. And so at the moment that something comes our way, an opportunity, then we need to redeem. That's a market word meaning to buy up or buy out. Time has the sense of season, suitable time. So if you're praying, you're walking around and you're saying, God, I really would like to witness to someone. I really would like to share the gospel with someone. I'd really like to share with Susie. Just pray that all the time. And you'll be sensitized. Just ask God. And then that time comes. And then next prayer you got to pray is, Lord, please help me not to be a chicken when that time comes, right? But part of it is being sensitized. Because sometimes you'll pray that time, that prayer, and then you'll notice something about their life. And you say, wow, they're having a lot of hard time. Then you just go up to them and say, you know, would you like me to pray about that with you? Or, you know, I pray and I've seen God do some things and you're not doing so well, right? You know, I'm telling you, there's sometimes what we do is we want to be witness and everything, but we don't bathe our life in prayer. We don't bathe things in prayer. We're not hooked up, right? And so we're not sensitive. We're not ready internally, making the most of every opportunity. And then the other part of that is that we have signs and wonders in our hands that God intends for us to pray for people. And if they've got sickness or illness, it's like, what an opportunity to be a witness and to pray for them. That person doesn't believe anything's going to happen when they pray. But usually they'll think, well, that was nice of you to even think of me and be that concerned about me. But if you work with them, especially say, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. If they're not well, check with them. Are you okay? You okay? I'm praying for you. I want you to know I've continued to pray. Don't just do it once, especially if you work with them and you see them all the time, right? I just believe that Jesus, you know, so interesting thing. I want to write this point C, and I'm about to close here. Make the most of every top opportunity is translated literally, if you were to translate that out of Colossians 4 or 5, redeem the time. In other words, make the most of your time. Redeem is a marketplace word, meaning to buy up or buy out. To at the right time, buy, right? Time has the sense of season, suitable time, the right moment. So I'm just saying, how can God you miss if you say, God, I'm just available, please use me in this person's life. Or if I notice something, then you step in and say, could I pray for that? People, when they're in pain, are extremely open. They are more open than you can imagine. So Jesus paid it all. Buy when you see the opportunity. It's sort of like Mercy Warehouse, right? Mercy Warehouse. We play this out every single day in Mercy Warehouse. Why are people coming to Mercy Warehouse? Because they think there's opportunity there. And they come in there hoping that they'll find some cheap price, something really cool, something they're looking for. They don't have to pay so much money for, right? So we are Mercy Warehouses running around. People are looking for life. They're looking for provision everywhere, right? That thing is a picture. They think they're going to get something there of value, something that might fill a need. And it's not going to be so expensive. There's some value there, right? And we're like a Mercy Warehouse is walking. We have value to give them, to release them. That's why the Bible says, in your conversation, be full of grace and let it be seasoned with salt. When we expect supernatural appointments for our prayers, we can listen for God and stay relaxed and expect in our conversations. And we can do signs and wonders and miracles. So part of this is being alert. The second part of it is praying for your friends or neighbors. But when you pray, pray expectantly. It's not like, you know, our idea of expectancy sometimes for a person that doesn't know the Lord is they're just going to go, oh my gosh, I need Jesus so bad. Can you help me? Well, they might do that. And then you're going to go, well, you better be ready, okay? Because maybe that was answered in a big way. But it may be just simple, like you just notice there's some weakness in them or they're asking some questions to you. And you're gentle with them. But if you live on the edge like this, you'll see more when you live on the edge, right? So like Mercy Warehouse is a good example. We've put the whole thing on edge. You know what it is? It's appealing. Why is it appealing? Because it's cheap, right? And I might get this deal. So think of this. We're redeeming the time. We've got good deals for people. They just don't know it, right? And they need some specific things. And if we listen and we walk with them, we might just find exactly what that specific thing is. Whether they need a healing, whether they need help, whether they need money, whatever it is, right? So this whole thing of opening doors, praying for divine opportunities, is not as hard as it looks. It's actually a great challenge and a great privilege for all of us. Just, we're armed and dangerous. We think of the world as armed and dangerous. That's why it's so important that we don't freak out over the world. You know, man, I'll tell you what. Okay, I watch Fox News as much as anybody here, right? Or other news network. But the whole thing, the whole model is set up on freak you out in a new way. What's the new way? It's Tuesday. What's a new way they can freak me out? Here's Wednesday. What's a new way I can freak out? Thursday. Oh my gosh, there's another way. And then pretty soon you find yourself addicted to freaking out. And I'm thinking, this is nuts. And then you don't have a spiritual bone in your body because all you got is freaking out things, right? And all this information. So the thing is, okay, that's fine, but don't let that pollute you, because our job is to pray for open doors and divine opportunities. If we think of the whole world as going to hell in a handbasket, what a world, what a world, what a world. We have that atmosphere, that whole thing, right? And we don't engage. Yes, the world will definitely go to hell in a handbasket, but it won't because of God. It'll be because of us. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And the first place to start is begin prayer journeys with God, interceding over situations. And I like to think of praying like this, is like a mother hen and eggs. You know, I like to think of that. I've got these eggs that I want hatched, and I'm sitting on them, and I look at them every day to see, oh, they're hatching at all, you know. That's like all the opportunities, people that need to come to Christ, things that need to change. I'm sitting on those eggs. You've been given that authority to do that. That's kind of a dumb way to put it, but it's just that way. It's we're out in the marketplace. We're being used by God. And our prayers make a difference. Our intercession makes a difference. Prayers in your own life make a difference. We need to learn to be spiritual people and learn to take hold of this, because it's such a vital part. My house will be called what? A house of prayer. A house of prayer. Not a house of depression. Not a house of running away. A house of prayer. Prayer sensitizes you. Prayer opens doors to divine opportunities with people you would think are hard as nails, but prayer will undo them, because there's demons around them and you're praying the demons off them. You're in a level of spiritual warfare. You think it's all about this or that, or they got a bad opinion, or they're raised wrong. No, a demon's talking in their ear. Who affects demons? We do. We bind and loose in the spirit of prayer. We pull that off of them. And we bring then solutions to them. And most important is just loving them where they're at, encouraging them. And by the way, if they're sick or they have any kind of problem with them, that's your cue. That's, I mean, you don't say, oh my gosh, that's the worst thing ever. I'm so sorry you're dealing with that. Well, I'll tell my wife, and, you know. The world does not need that. They got enough of that. They need somebody to say, oh man, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm going to pray for you. From now on, I'll be praying for you. Me and my wife are going to pray for you every day. And you just keep letting me know what's going on. Right? That is where we are. That's where we're at our best. We can do that. Can't we do that? I think we could do that. Open doors, divine opportunities. Right? Let's all stand. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus over this whole crowd today that you would all help us to be sensitized to our real authority to pray for people, pray for our own life, pray for our own situations. And I'm asking today that you would make us the salt of the earth. Lord, make the world taste good. I pray you change us from the inside out. I break the power of intimidation off of you and off of me. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd make us vocal, verbal, and careful, and compassionate. Making the most of every opportunity. Seasoning the world with the salt you gave us. Some of us right now know people. You're thinking of people. Might be relatives, friends, people you work, people you've been praying for. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, as a result of us talking about this, I pray, God, that you would save people, you would deliver them. I pray you would cause things to happen in the next month that are just utterly astounding. I pray, God, you would get us on track to be praying for our world, be interceding, to be looking for ways we can be a help, as we say here, open doors for divine appointments. Lord, use us to look for open doors for divine appointments. Help us to see. Help us to be a part. Help us to be salt and light in Jesus' name. All right, I'm going to do an unusual altar call here for us. It's not really an altar call. It's something I think we could do business with. And Corey will play a little bit. But all right, I want you to think for a moment. Think of someone in your life that doesn't know the Lord. And maybe they might be your friend. They might be a childhood friend. They might be a work associate. Someone that you come in contact, preferably a lot, right? They might be on your own household. They might be your mother, your grandmother, your friend, your cousin. I want you, everyone, to think about that person or persons, right? Lord, I pray you just pop that into our mind. Because those people are not in our life by accident. And if they don't know the Lord, especially, they're not there by accident. We may be the only lifeline that they have for maybe years and years before they come to Christ. People we golf with, people we play tennis with, people in our club, people in our family. I ask you, Jesus, that you would do something for us that would be amazing. I pray as we respond in prayer to them right now, where we're at right now, people that don't know the Lord, I pray, God, you would do something amazing. And I want to ask you to do something even more, just so this will stick. If you know a person that doesn't know the Lord and that's your friend, or maybe that you've felt a special burden for, what I'd like you to do is we're not going to pray for you, we're going to pray for them. I'd like you to come up to the front. And then I'm going to offer a big prayer of intercession for all of them, all right? So you come up and bring your friend with you. Obviously, your friend's probably not in the room, right? Bring your friend with you. Bring the friend with you in your heart. That niece, that uncle, that employee, that employer, that person you work with, that person you're concerned about. And we're just going to take a few minutes, and we're just going to make this a great house of prayer on this day. Remember, the day is the 28th of July. July the 28th. Lord, I'm going to ask you something today. I'm going to ask of you. Lord, we're just sort of launching into this in a new way. Some of us are going to be paying attention in a way we haven't before. I pray as a result of this little prayer thing right now in this place, as we just took a special time before we go home to ask and pray for those that don't know Jesus. Our friends, our neighbors, work associates. And Lord, I pray you'd listen to every prayer that's prayed up here. Everything that we say, I pray that miracles would break out. And so what I want to do on your end is, as you pray for them on this day, I want you to be watching. And keep praying for them. Whatever you're praying for, keep praying. And be watching for opportunities to share with them. Be watching for opportunities. That's one thing I've found out by praying for people, especially people I have contact with a lot. I find myself, when I'm praying for them, I find myself also talking to them more. Spending more time paying attention to them. And not just paying attention to them as a mark on my belt, but paying attention to them as possibly something I can do to help. Maybe there's an opportunity I could do to practically serve them. We're turning our focus from us now to them. So Lord, now let's just pray. And we'll just take a moment. Why don't you sing a little bit? And we're just going to pray over these people before we go.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.